A weak economy, but a strong president. How will Vladimir Putin reform Russia?
What is the government going to do to shift money away from inefficient spending and more towards social spending, pensions?
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. On March 18th, Vladimir Putin is expected to win another six-year term, virtually unopposed, as president. But Russia's economy has been hit by slumping oil prices and Western sanctions. So in a speech this past hour, Mr. Putin has been spelling out some of his economic priorities, including cutting poverty by half.
We have to seriously renew the structure of employment, which is largely inefficient and archaic. We must solve one of the key tasks for the upcoming decade to ensure confident, long-term growth in citizens' real incomes, and in 6 years, to at least halve the poverty level.
Chris Weifer is a senior partner at Macro Advisory, a consulting firm in Moscow.
Over the last 17 years, he really hasn't needed to worry too much about the economy and lifestyles, because rising oil wealth and the base effect, they were kind of improving everybody's lifestyle anyway, and it allowed him to focus much more on geopolitics and improving military, etc. But that really has all changed in the last couple of years. And while opinion polls showed that people give him great credit for the geopolitics and the military side, they are increasingly critical of what they see as kind of poor economic management and concern about lifestyle improvement. So he really has to focus on that. And therefore, it's no surprise to hear him talking about how he's going to improve people's lives and focus on healthcare and pensions and reducing poverty, because that's what the opinion polls show, that people are now much more focused on today.
Is he going to be in a position to fund all of that? Is there appetite for reform in Russia?
If you're talking about the sort of general reforms to dealing with corruption or improving the legal system or reducing bureaucracy, no, that's not realistic. That's not going to happen in Putin's next term. If you talk about reforming budget spending and the way Russia uses its money and how it kind of develops the economy, yes, that's a bit more realistic. So one of the things that businesses and investors are now waiting for is the announcement, or at least the publication, of some of these policy changes. What is the government going to do to shift money away from inefficient spending in the state sector and subsidies and more towards areas like healthcare, social spending, pensions? And it will take them several years, even if they get it right. It's not going to be a quick fix.
Chris Weifer, let's do the numbers. European shares slid this morning over uninspiring earnings. Germany's DAX is down 1.5%. London's FTSE fell by half of 1%. Advertising giant WPP announced results for 2017, and that sent the share price falling by as much as 12%. So what's behind the woes of the world's biggest advertiser? Well, WPP CEO Sir Martin Sorrell said last year wasn't pretty and blamed the long-term impact of technological disruption. Here's Tom Singlehurst, Managing Director of European Media at Citi.
No, there's no doubt that there has been disruption. The move to digital fundamentally makes advertising more efficient, and that means advertising budgets in aggregate at best move sideways and potentially over time move down. And that's a big adjustment for a company like WPP that's exposed to traditional ad buying. The question is, can it diversify into new activities that follow where the money's going, in terms of areas like business transformation, building e-commerce platforms and other forms of direct marketing?
Tom Singlehurst. For the first time in 3 years, Brazil is expected to show some growth. Final figures are out today. But while the country is now out of recession, it hasn't created many jobs. The BBC's Daniel Gallas has been looking at the example of the car industry, where production was up by 25% last year, though employment is still flat.
I'm in the Volkswagen car factory in São Bernardo do Campo in the greater São Paulo area. This is the largest car-making hub in Latin America. But for the past 2 years, this place has seen a terrible crisis. Brazil used to produce almost 4 million cars 5 years ago. Then recession hit. Thousands of people lost their jobs in the car industry. But now things seem to be looking up once more. This factory has been working 24 hours since November last year, producing cars non-stop.
My name is Pablo Lisi. I'm the president and CEO of Volkswagen In January of this year, we are experiencing a 22% increase in the industry versus 2017.
But that growth is still over a very low base, which was what we saw during the crisis. How long will it take for Brazil to come back to its previous output when it was a growing giant?
Within the next 3 to 4 years, we can come back to levels of 2013.
Now industries are hiring again, but it's not enough to absorb all of those who are left behind. I meet Kleber Gomes at his home. Kleber has been looking for a job for the past 2 years, but hasn't found any.
I have a friend who committed suicide. He couldn't handle being out of the job with no prospects. He left 2 kids behind. He worked with me at Mercedes. Other friends also lost jobs. And me, I'm still looking for a job, but no one's opened a door for me.
So when will Brazil's jobless recovery become something everyone else in the country can take part in? That is a question over 10 million unemployed workers want an answer to as quickly as possible. From São Bernardo do Campo in Brazil, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
Finally, Asia's most overworked employees are getting a break. South Korea's passed a law cutting maximum weekly hours from 68 down to 52. Even so, South Koreans work about 10 weeks more a year compared to the UK, despite pretty similar average incomes. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.